Shabbos, Per Gimel, Mishnah Hay, 3-5. Earlier in the perek, we discussed the halachas of Eish and Told of Eish, the prohibition against using direct fire to cook something or to bake something, which is the Issur D'oraisa, as well as the Tolda, meaning something that was heated by a fire, like a kettle, which had hot water inside of it, to put an egg inside, or on the outside for that matter, of the kettle, and use the heat stored in the kettle to cook the egg, would also be an Issur D'oraisa Bishul. Now we're going to go on to talk about the difference between what's become to be known to us as Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, perhaps. So let me explain. The fire itself and the pot on the fire is what cooks normally. When you take it off the fire, the pot off the fire, and it's still hot, when I say hot, I mean more than Yad to lettuce bowl, about 110 degrees Fahrenheit or so. So it's able to still cook. And if you put that egg inside the pot, which we called before the Told of Eish, but now we'll call it the Kli Rishon, the first utensil. It's called the Kli Rishon because this was the actual utensil, the pot or kettle, that was directly on the fire. And so long as it's still above Yod to Lettuce Bo in temperature, again, literally Yod to Lettuce Bo, the temperature at which one recoils his hand, but Yod to Lettuce is considered to be the threshold where something could still cook, at about 3 degrees Celsius or so, 110 Fahrenheit, give or take, different shitas in the Rishonim, where in the 40s of Celsius it is, in the Poskim. Be that as it may, that's called the Kli Rishon. And basically, Kli Rishon can cook without a problem. That's normal cooking. And if you put something inside the Kli Rishon, you're liable to achatas, etc. It's cooking d'oraisa. Now, when you pour water or food, let's leave solids out. Let's talk about liquids. When you pour water out of the kettle into a cup, let's say, that cup is a Kli Sheni. It's a second utensil, meaning this cup is full of hot water that came from the Kli Rishon that was on the fire. But since it wasn't on the fire itself, it's not called a Kli Rishon, it's called a Kli Sheni. And in general, the rule is that a Kli Sheni doesn't cook food. Now, for many years, I scratched my head trying to figure out the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, in as much as Kli Rishon, we're saying, can cook at 115 degrees, 120 degrees Fahrenheit, 50 degrees Celsius, whereas we're saying a Kli Sheni can't cook, it cannot cook, even if the water inside that Kli Sheni is 180 degrees, even if it's, you know, Fahrenheit, even if it's, you know, 75, 80, 90 degrees Celsius, we say it cannot cook. So for years, I couldn't really get my head around it. I think the only way to get your head around it is to understand this halachic status of being able to cook is a halachic phenomenon. That's where halacha is defining it, and not necessarily sort of the chemical phenomenon. So that be what it is. We're saying in general, a Kli Sheni cannot cook things. But we actually take things, meaning foodstuffs, and we divide them into three categories, the halacha does. There's things that are kalei habishul, easily cooked. There's chomri habishul, things that are very difficult to cook. And regular foods, which are most foods, which are neither kal, easy, nor chomor, difficult to cook. So when it comes to a Kli Sheni, we say only kalei habishul, even only easily cooked foods can be cooked inside a Kli Sheni. But things that are harder to cook, like water or oil or tavlin. Now, tavlin, which means spices, this gets confusing, also confused me for years. Tavlin, which means spices, is referring to, let's say, a big ginger root or a big piece of tree bark that's cinnamon. Okay, it's a big hunk of ginger. So that big hunk of ginger is difficult to cook. And if you put in the Kli Sheni into your cup of tea, it may emit some ginger flavor into your tea, but it will not cook the ginger. So that's what we mean by tavlin. When in modern Hebrew, the word tavlin, which means spices also, you think of like, you know, finely shaved bits of oregano or something. That, of course, is easy to cook because it's nice and thin. And according to many poskim, if you have finely cut spices like oregano or bits of parsley or whatever it is, that's actually called kalei habishul, easily cooked, like tea and so on, things that are very small flakes, thin flakes that can cook very easily with water. So this is very confounding. When the Mishnah refers to tavlin, it's considering something which is very difficult to cook, chomrei habishul, and it's thinking about a big, gigantic piece of ginger root or cinnamon or maybe even perhaps a whole onion, stuff like that, perhaps an onion. It's not thinking about the little spice that you sprinkle in from your spice shelf, of a little bit of nutmeg that's, you know, finely powdered and so on, which could cook very easily. Okay, so we say that a kli rishon, yes, could cook. A kli sheni in general cannot cook, except for things that are easily cooked, like egg or certain kinds of, like, you know, dried fish and so on, which is a little bit of hot water, so you need to make them now edible and cooked. So those are called kali habishal. The problem is we've sort of lost tradition of which foods are considered to be kali habishal, and therefore the halacha assumes that except for that small list of things which we can confirm are difficult to cook, like, for example, you know, a big hunk of beef or something, we will assume that they are kali habishal out of doubt, and not put any foodstuffs into a kli sheni for fear that it could get cooked. Now, Tosfos, I should have said this before, perhaps, he gives a rationale why it should be that a kli sheni can't cook, whereas a kli rishon could cook. Tosfos suggests the idea is that there's a lot of heat stored up inside the walls of the container of a kli rishon, so it keeps on kind of getting, like, reinforced, the heat, whereas if you pour hot water into the cup, the teacup rapidly, you know, the cup itself is cold, it absorbs some of the heat, and then the heat dissipates quite quickly. So we're assuming that a kli sheni can't cook most foods, although because of the chumrah, we're not sure what are considered to be kali habishal. We treat most foods as being kali habishal, and we do not put them into a kli sheni at all. In case you're wondering, when you pour water out of a kli rishon, it's not considered to be a kli sheni until it gets into the container where the walls are sort of sucking its temperature away. So if you pour from a kli rishon, from the kettle, directly onto food, that's called irui kli rishon, pouring out of a kli rishon, and we say that also could cook at least the outer layer, like a thin layer of the food that gets poured the hot water on from the kli rishon, that thin outer layer could get cooked, and therefore we definitely do not do that. We do not pour directly from a kli rishon onto food. As far as kli sheni goes, so now it becomes a bit of a question. If you take the kli sheni and you pour it into a kli shlishi, a third container, so there's many who say this cannot cook at all. Like, the cooking possibilities in a kli shlishi are nil, and you could even put kali habishal, easily cook things, into a kli shlishi and not be afraid. That's how Rav Moshe paskins. And therefore, according to Rav Moshe, you could say, like, to put a tea bag into a kli shlishi, no problem, because even if tea is a kali habishal, easily cooked, but a kli shlishi simply can't cook. Other poskim learn that no, even in a kli shlishi, and for that matter, there's no special thing about shlishi. Same with a ravi and a chamishi. The point is, as long as the water is still yatzo lettuce bowl and it's hot, it could cook kali habishal, and regardless if it's a kli shlishi and so on, and therefore you could not put tea, like a tea bag, tea inside a kli shlishi. It doesn't matter, it's disallowed. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, and many are machmer like that. So some homes make tea on Shabbos, and some homes only use tea scents, that they've pre-made the tea into liquid on Shabbos. Okay, that's not for now. But putting that aside, those are our different levels of kalim, if you will, on Shabbos. Now, our Mishnah is going to discuss that explicitly. It starts out by saying, hamecham, if you have a kettle, let's say, shepinahu, that you removed from the fire. This can be confusing. I don't even want to explain why it could be confusing. Pinahu means removed from the fire. Okay? It doesn't mean emptied out. So it's a kli rishon still. Lo yiten l'socho tzonen b'shvil sheyechamu. You cannot put cold water into that kettle so that the cold water should be heated up. Because if you did that, the kli rishon still could cook. And even though water is considered to be something that's not easily cooked, it certainly can be brought to being above yotzo lettuce, in which case you've now cooked the water and you'd be over the lav d'oraisa. So don't do that. Avol nosen hu l'socho o l'tocha kos k'dei l'havshiran. What you could do is pour a lot of cold water into the kettle, which would then make the whole mixture now be just warm water, less than yotzo lettuce, you know, so let's say lukewarm water, or just warm water, not hot water, and that would be okay because you're not cooking any water. Nothing's been cooked, and that'll be just fine. Again, water is sort of cook resistant, so that's why it's lenient to pour it in like that. No problem. And as for a kos, this is a little confusing. So we understand that the kettle was a kli rishon, the kos is a kli sheni. So according to what I just said, there should be no reason at all why you can't put any water inside a kli sheni, because water is not easily cooked. And that indeed is the halacha. According to the Bar Tanura, this Tana holds that a kli sheni could cook. And that's why it lumps them together, and it's saying you can't put water into a kli rishon or a kli sheni unless you're putting enough water that the resultant mixture should be not yotze lettuce, so you're not actually cooking the water you're adding. So the Bartner learns that the kos is the same, meaning the Bartner learns that a kli sheni also could cook a little bit of water, but the Bartner himself says that's just the ton of this part of the Mishnah, but actually the halacha and later on the Mishnah disagrees with that. Okay, fine. Ha'ilfas, if you have a, I'll translate that as a pan. V'kadera, I'll translate that as a pot. Meaning those are the utensils you put directly on the fire, on the stove. She'e'evirin mirutuchan. And mirutuchan, mirutachin. You remove them while they're still, you know, bubbling, boiling hot. So there's, now you have a kli rishon off the fire. That being the case, it could cook. Therefore, lo yiten lesochan tavlin. You shouldn't put your tavlin, even things like the ginger root, which is resistant to cooking. But since you're putting it into kli rishon, and the kli rishon, which was on the fire, so yotze lettuce bo, it could still cook that piece of ginger, the tavlin. And that would be a lav doraisa. Aval nos enhu letocha ka'aro letocha tamchui. What you could do is decant. You could pour out the liquid from, let's say, the soup, whatever it is, that's inside this pot or pan, put it into a ka'ara. Ka'ara is like a serving, like a plate, you know, a person's bowl that he eats out of. Oletocha tamchui. A tamchui is like a serving dish that multiple people eat out of the dish. Like what you do in, say, in Shabbos. You take your chalent, you put it out of the chalent pot, which is kli rishon, into the serving dish on the table, whatever that is, that's called the tamchui. So a kli sheni is not able to cook, and therefore, says the Mishnah here, well, you should not, you may not put your tavlin, your ginger root, let's say, into the kli rishon, the pot or pan directly. You could put it into the plate or the serving bowl, no problem, because it can't cook as a kli sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, lo kol hu nos, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you could even put those things, meaning the tavlin, for example, the spice, the ginger root, into a kli rishon, because he holds, once it's off the fire, it can't cook anymore, no problem. Unless what's cooking inside the pot contains some catalyst which would make it, you know, facilitate the easier cooking of the food. For example, chometz, which is vinegar, it's acidic, or tzir, which is fish brine, also something which would sort of soften and ready up the, let's say, the ginger to be cooked faster. Okay, that's the Mishnah, that's the din. In case you're scratching your head wondering, wait a second, when I know the rules, you can't take cholent out of a serving dish and put on your plate with your lettuce, your salad for Shabbos, because you're afraid it could cook the salad, which is true for Ashkenazim. And the reason why is something kind of unrelated. There's a marshal, which we're machmir for, that a davar gush, a clump of food, retains its heat for a long time, doesn't let out its heat into like the walls of the container, and actually, essentially, that big hunk of potato you pull out of the cholent, or chicken piece of, you know, a chicken thigh or a meatball or something, all these kind of things, there's big clumps of heated food on your plate, they're still retaining their heat for a long time, and therefore they function as a kli rishon, and therefore you still can't put, you know, your pepper onto your cholent potato, even though it's on your plate, because we're afraid that the potato still has a status like a kli rishon. That's how Ashkenazim are machmir, and that's the din for Sephardim not. So that's something separate, because we're treating this davar gush, this clump of food, as if it were still a kli rishon. Fine, that's then just finally the thing about salt, important. So salt, it's not clear how salt is categorized. Some say salt is very resistant to cooking, and therefore you could sprinkle your salt on, no problem, even the potato, the kli rishon like that. Others say no, salt is readily cooked. And that being the case, you couldn't sprinkle your salt on the potato, or in the pot for that matter. The halacha is only lamaisa if you're talking about salt that's not coming from the ocean, which has sort of been cooked to evaporate and produce the salt. So most salt is called sea salt, and it's not a problem at all together. If you buy the fancy Himalayan rock salt that was never boiled, then according to many shvimach, we're not put that salt directly onto your davar gush, your potato, and so now onto the pot or pan, because that salt could still get cooked.